Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. It's an emergency pod because, you know, somebody got traded. A guy we've been talking about nonstop, I don't know, feels like 3 months now. I'm Dave DeFore, joined by the Athletic's Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter, Eric Name. The only guy I could really reach out to give me the inside scoop on this. Damian Lillard is now a Milwaukee Buck. Where did this come from, Eric?
I mean, this is just, you know, I think in many ways the way John Horst likes to do business. You know, I was thinking back to 2020 when they traded for Jrue Holiday, and there were rumors that, you know, the Pelicans might trade Jrue, and, you know, there's conversations about, you know, what team could he go to? Like, I think that was pre-Big Three Nets, so I was like, oh, maybe the Nets will make a deal and do some of these things. And then all of a sudden, oh, he's going to the Milwaukee Bucks. And it's just like, oh, okay, sure, let's do that. And this is, you know, for the most part, Horst doesn't really like to try to telegraph any of his moves. And this was a situation where, obviously, you and I have spent months talking about this, and we don't even talk that often. Like, you and I have spent months on this podcast talking about, you know, Lillard to the Heat or the Raptors or wherever. And, you know, like, we kind of talked through this, and then just at the end, you know, you see John Horst swoop in, and it's kind of a really gutsy move. It's an aggressive move. It is a very John Horst move. I remember when they swung the deal for Jrue Holiday, Giannis had not yet signed a Supermax extension. This was a deal to try to help him, you know, understand just how serious they are about contending and screw the draft picks down the road. That doesn't matter. We don't need them. We need this guy. And the package of draft picks isn't quite as big this time around, largely probably because the Bucks just don't have that many anymore. Like, they just barely started to get a couple, you know, future pick swaps and an actual first that they could trade. So the package had to be a little bit smaller, but in many ways you're looking at a very similar deal, right? Like, you're taking your starting point guard, you're adding some things to the package of your starting point guard to get a better starting point guard. And for as good as Jrue Holiday is, obviously he was part of the big three that led the Bucks to their first championship in 50 seasons. He was an all-star last season. He was on the cusp of all NBA. Damian Lillard was not on the cusp of all NBA. He was all NBA. He averaged 32 points per game, 7 assists per game. He's still one of the most lethal outside shooters in the game. For as good as Jrue Holiday is, and I do think he is truly spectacular, Dame Lillard is just a better basketball player. And right now, when you're looking at what the Bucks are thinking, it is those picks in the future, the salary cap implications in the future, that's fine. We're going to go out and win right now, and hopefully, you know, in some way show the big fella that, yeah, we are committed to winning, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Hey, it's sports, man. That's your job. Your job is to go out and try to win basketball games. And it's nice to see what we're going to call a small market go out and say, no, we're going to try to keep this thing going. And, you know, last time we spoke, it was hot on the heels of Giannis applying pressure to the organization. Clearly that pressure worked. They went out and upgraded it at the one spot and upgraded with a guy who, at least offensively, you can see the vision in the fit with Damian Lillard and adding him to the existing core of Chris Middleton and Giannis. The spacing that he's going to provide on offense is going to make everyone's life just much easier.
I mean, I think to me, through the 5 years of Mike Budenholzer, right? Like, those are the 5 years of contention that you're talking about with the Milwaukee Bucks. A pick and roll involving Giannis as the screener always ended the same way in the playoffs, with the other team daring the point guard, go ahead, shoot. We don't care. As long as that guy isn't rolling to the rim with the ball in his hands in a sliver of space, we don't care. You can try to beat us. You can score as many as you want. And to Jrue Holiday's credit, in the championship run, he did make just enough fourth quarter jumpers. You know, he made just enough plays that when you played him that way, the Bucks ended up winning in the end. But there's no daring Dame Lillard to shoot. He will shoot it, and he will make it, and he will do it over and over and over again until you figure it out, and you figure out how to stop that. And the bad news is, if you decide to double or blitz the ball out of his hands, Giannis playing 4-on-3 seems like a pretty strong advantage for the Milwaukee Bucks in a half court scenario. It's just really, you think about what Steph has been able to do with Draymond Green. Just turn that up about 5 notches for what Giannis as a rim runner can look like with the floor spaced in that way because of the insane gravity that Dame Lillard has on the ball. I do think, you know, you're always trying to think a trade, you know, a week before we get into training camp, a trade 3 weeks before the season starts. How is it going to work? Like, can you put it all together? Can you put together a strategy? Can you figure out how this is going to work? And this one to me feels pretty seamless. Like the skill set that Dame Lillard has, you can in many ways just say, all right, Dame, let's go to work. And obviously Giannis is still going to get his touches in different ways, but just that's the best pick and roll partner Giannis ever had. That's the best teammate Giannis ever had. Like, that is the level of move that you're talking about by trading for Dame Lillard. And yes, he is a little bit older, but he's still 33 years old, which is the same age as Drew Holiday. You know, he has all those years on his contract. That might be seen as a good thing, because maybe that means Giannis wants to stick around for all those years as well, even though the salary cap and the luxury tax and the repeater bills are going to be very heavy. Like you said, this is an aggressive move. This is a team trying to win games. This is a team trying to get better. And I think, as I've said on your podcast before, like, there is, you don't hang banners for the best asset accumulation. You hang banners for championships. And that is very much what this move is pushing the Bucks just further along in trying to win a championship. And I think once you get done, you know, with the accounting here, if they're not the favorites, they're certainly closer to being the favorites than they were yesterday, if we would have spoke at this exact same time.
I think they're likely the favorites in the East. I mean, I'll have to see what it looks like, you know, on the court, right? Once we get to preseason, start seeing how things work. They obviously have a new coach there, so it's going to be a whole new system for everybody. So throwing a new guy into the mix that's a much better shooter, much more of an offensive threat, is only going to make that process more seamless. But your focus was all on the offensive side, which everyone that's talking about this trade is going to focus on. Wow, Giannis is going to have such an easy time on offense. Man, Damian Lillard playing in the East, he's going to score so much. Okay, but we got to talk defense, because, and I know we focus only on offense because Damian Lillard really doesn't play defense.
Sure.
But this is going to be a massive drop off. And I know Drew Holiday, the last, you know, year, maybe two, we've seen a little bit of a decline in his defensive ability, especially on the ball. But Damian Lillard is a massive downgrade from in an all ball defensive role. He's going to have to play quite a bit on the ball, guarding ones. Giannis, the last couple of years, we've seen a downturn in his activity. So, and you know, maybe that's a little bit of resting for the offensive end. We don't know. How's the defense going to look? Because the defense has really been the calling card of these Bucks teams. They've been, you know, perennial top five defense. They obviously weren't as good last year. Brooke Lopez, another year older. Are they going to be able to defend enough to potentially win a title? I don't mean just get out of the East, but to potentially win a title, will they have the defense?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting question. And I think it was an interesting question before the season, but before this trade,
right? Like,
when I was on the podcast with you, we were talking about, you know, what kind of defense are they going to run? How are they going to do this? And I think that is an even more interesting question now, because I think in the Mike Budenholzer defense that have been set up over the years, you could say, all right, let's keep running guys off the line. Let's keep forcing them into the middle, and Giannis and Brooke are going to clean everything up. And I think you could have gotten away with that. What Adrian Griffin has been talking about, and again, we haven't seen it on the floor yet. Games are still a couple weeks away. But what he's been talking about is a more aggressive defense, trying to create more turnovers. And if you're going to do that, you got to be bringing it on the wing. You got to be bringing it on ball. You got to be, you know, willing to create some chaos with something aggressive on the perimeter, to mix up ball handlers, to try to get into passing lanes, to do something that's going to create turnovers, because the Budenholzer defense would not have done that. So I think the questions would have been big going from Drew to Dame no matter what, but I think it just multiplies to the questions that you already had about what the Bucks were going to do this time around, because I do think it is pretty difficult to see all of it and to think about, you know, last year, Drew Holiday, while it didn't work out and I had proposed Giannis covering Jimmy Butler during that first round series, you know, he was the one that had Jimmy Butler. You know, at times he is the guy that had Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, whoever it is in the East. You have to defend some really talented wings and some talented guards. So you're going to have to find your way through that. And I think it stresses Dame, obviously, at the point guard position. Teams are going to be, you know, looking to target him. But at the same time, I would say this is going to be the healthiest defensive ecosystem that Dame has ever played in. I think maybe a couple of years Stotts had flirted with like a top 10, 15 defense somewhere in there, but that wasn't their calling card. They were just going to put up a bunch of points. So I would say this is the healthiest defensive ecosystem he's been a part of. But I do think you have to try to figure out how much does Chris Middleton have left on the wing defensively. That was something that, you know, you could cover up when you had other guys. But now that he's had his knee surgery, is he back to being the guy that, you know, if you think back to the championship run in 2021, he was the one that had Kevin Durant a lot in that second round series against the Nets. Like, PJ Tucker did his thing, but they were closing games with Chris Middleton on Kevin Durant. Can Chris Middleton do that? Maybe if the offensive load isn't as heavy, like, you know, if you can lean on Dame and you can lean on Giannis, then okay, maybe he can do a little bit more. And the same could be said of Giannis, right? Last year, Giannis had the highest usage of his career by a pretty substantial margin. And if you bring that down, you put the ball in Dame's hands a little bit more, can he give a little bit more on defense? And these are all conversations that you're going to have as well, because, you know, there's a certain thing that you get used to when you're the two-time MVP, you're the best player on the team. Giannis is still the best player on the team. He's better than Damian Lillard.
Yes.
But, you know, one player is very clearly someone that could be on ball all the time at point guard, have the ball in his hands for an entire offense possession. And the other guy is someone who clearly could do some things as a rim runner. Not that he hasn't done those things before. He did it a lot during the finals run. But if you're trying to figure out how to grab all the pulleys and levers and make an entire ecosystem work, both offensively and defensively, those are some of the things that you have to consider. So I do think you bring up a really good point with the defense. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they try to get out of it, because, you know, they have been getting older. They made a real priority of trying to get younger. Like, a guy like Marjon Beauchamp is younger. Malik Beasley is not insanely young, but he's only 26 years old. I think about to turn 27. Andre Jackson Jr.
He's
going to
get a real chance, by the way.
This year,
Malik Beasley is crucial, actually, 100%. To their success.
I mean, we were talking about projected starting lineups as, you know, people were asking me like, well, who do you think starts at shooting guard now? Because Grayson Allen was also in the trade. He's played over 3,700 minutes the last 2 years and been the Bucks starter at shooting guard. In my head, it's like, maybe it's Malik Beasley. You know, he's someone that, you know, has had those really big moments before. He's been a 20-point per game scorer, even if it was just for a little while with the Nuggets and then with the Wolves. But he has done it before. And I think you slot him in, and man, the offense somehow gets even more, you know, shot happy. And
so maybe the defense doesn't matter as much because you're going to just score so many points.
That's one way to go. Or, you know, the younger guys that maybe aren't as shot confident. Marjon Beauchamp is a 6'7" wing. Andre Jackson Jr. is a 6'7" wing. A guy like Pat Connaughton has guarded up before. Maybe you try to get a little bit of the defense there, right? Because now, really, with Dame as one of your main offensive initiators, between Dame Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez, number five in that lineup doesn't got to do a heck of a lot offensively.
Just shoot open shots.
That's it. And then that means you got to be doing something on the other end. So maybe that's how you try to balance it out. But like I said, the levers and pulleys, like, it's going to be interesting how you move everything around. You get a lot on the defensive end or the offensive end from this guy and less on the offensive end from him. Like, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I was already fascinated with this season because I was going to get to see a team in brand new offensive and defensive schemes and get to see some new players and how it's all going to work out with the new coach. And now you add in a earth-shattering trade, and all of those questions to me become even more exciting. And who knows, maybe some of the answers that they had thought up this summer, maybe some of them have gotten thrown out the window, right?
Yeah, like, probably. If
I had a guess, Terry Stotts probably has some stuff in the playbook from back in Portland that's going to look a little bit better with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the role as opposed to Yusuf Nurkic. No offense to Nurk, he was a great player, but like, it's probably going to look a little bit better with Giannis. So I think that's going to be kind of fascinating to see how they move those things around and try to figure it all out.
The big sentiment that I'm seeing from Milwaukee Bucks fans so far, in addition to being excited to have a player like Damian Lillard and the realization that this could convince Giannis to maybe sign an extension, maybe even sign a longer extension, they're going to miss Drew Holiday. What's it going to be like to not have Drew Holiday around this team?
I mean, just a consummate professional. I've described him to people before as the most California dude you've ever met. Like, nothing shakes him, right? Like, the most exciting play could happen and he's just going to be, you know, kind of chill. The worst play could happen, he's going to be kind of chill. So I do think there's like a steadiness to him. And I would guess Dame Lillard, from all I've ever heard of him being a great leader, is going to bring many of those.
Well, the
same
most
things.
Famous photo he's ever taken is in the mob of people after he hit, you know, that massive
Correct.
Three, and he's got a totally stone face. So I think also, that it's going to be similar vibes.
Yeah. Also a noted California dude, Damian
That's
Lillard.
Right.
Yeah. So again, like, I think the vibes that you're kind of bringing in and out are going to be similar. And to me, I think the sentimental part of it is not necessarily that you worry about losing something Drew brings that Dame can't, or something in particular that Drew brought to the table. It's the fact that Drew was the trade the year before you won the first championship the organization's won in 50 years. And that is always going to have a special place in people's heart. Drew Holiday ripping the ball out of Devin Booker's hands and going the other way and throwing an insane alley-oop to Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is what you're going, like, the good news is that's etched in time forever. In stone, that banner is going to hang forever. So, like, you don't totally have to be like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to remember it? You're going to remember it by looking up and, you know, as a fan being like, oh yeah, well, the banner's still there. And I remember how cool that was. But to me, that's like the sentimental portion of it, was that, like, yeah. He was, and that's not to say like he was the reason that they won a championship or whatever, but like, he was a part of the cascading set of sequence of moves that led to this great moment. And I think that will just kind of will live on forever. And if you're a Bucks fan, like, that's the thing that it's going to be like, oh man, that dude was really cool. And he did the thing that we've all been dying to do. He did it. And we won a championship. Like, that to me is like how the sentimental portion of like, man, we're really going to miss Drew will come across as a fan is just that part.
Yeah. I love a nice curveball right before the start of training camp. Eric Name, thank you very much for joining me here on the Athletic NBA Show. We're going to roll out a special episode of Nerder, She Wrote at the end of the week to break down this trade. And we'll hopefully by then we'll know where Drew Holiday is going to wind up, because guess what? He might actually be a useful piece for a contender. So till then, I'm Dave DeFore for Eric Name. Thanks for listening.